Sensational stuff taking us out of Fly Me to the Moon. And yes, you heard it, we had Let Me Go with Gary Barlow before that. Unbelievable, but correctly identified by our studio co-presenter, Sam Bradley. Sam, of course, second time around. Exciting. Good morning, welcome to our Friday morning sequence for Hospedia Channel 1's very own Southside Broadcasting. You hear lots of stuff on the podcast sequence as well, but now in full perfect shape, as she always is, part of the sensationally wonderful breakfast team yesterday on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, and indeed formerly with BBC Lincolnshire, now doing some fabulous stuff with respect to the joys of postgraduate study and writing a dissertation for our MA Community Radio. It's Sue Royce. Good morning. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. I'm very well. My little heart overflows knowing that you've played Gary Barlow and spread some love this morning.
Oh, no.
So kind.
You'd almost think that it's the sort of person who would actually have an agreement about a New Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie to actually sort of put together. It's that sort of thing,
yes,
really.
It was, yes.
Standing. Still. Anyway, welcome. I think formally to the first time you've connected with us up at Southside Broadcasting, Siren FM's sister station, up in the northeast. Of course, a week's time you'll be here in the studio.
Yay! I shall. Yes, I'm very much looking forward to it. Yes.
Well, I
see where you all live up there.
Live? You call this living? You might like to quiz a young man who actually is just here for his second time. We see him last week. He's doing a work placement with us, and you know all about work placements, don't you, Sue Royce?
I do indeed, absolutely.
Being the coordinator of work placements at Siren 107.3 FM, we have Sam Bradley in the studio with us, so you might have to quiz Sam a little bit about what he's been doing so far, what his things have been entailing, what his course of multimedia journalism at the University of Teesside involves, and even going to describe the studio, see how it matches your sort of thoughts when you actually see the broom cupboard, for yourself in 168 hours' time.
Yes, good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
So have you found it so far?
I think it's been good. It's been challenging. It's taught me a lot of things that I didn't know previously. But I think it's been a very good course so far.
So and how are you finding the lovely people at Southside?
I think it's fine. It's great. It's good conversations off the mic. It's nice.
What sort of projects have they had you doing? I know certainly Alex is very adept at getting me involved in some pretty interesting events. We went to the Great Yorkshire Show and had a bit of an interesting conversation with Prince Charles. What sort of things has he got you involved with?
Well, so far I've just been on the radio, as I am now. So Fly Me to the Moon is the main thing I've done. I've also talked about the On Your Bike project and things like that.
Uh-huh. And any interesting projects coming up?
I'm not sure, actually. You have to ask Alex about that one.
The thing with media in general and with broadcasting quite often, particularly if it's live, is that it's a bit like throwing a pin on a grenade. You pull the pin, you chuck it in, and you sort of have to go with what you've got and make something of it. But it's very interesting, and I've met some amazing people, so hopefully you will be able to get on board with some projects in there, and you too will meet some really interesting people. What was it that made you want to study this sort of thing?
I'm not really sure. I've always obviously followed the media through sports and music and things like that, so I just sort of wanted to see what happened behind the scenes, how it was made, and if I could myself actually do that job.
Are you finding it's different to what you originally anticipated?
Not really. I think it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. So the skills,
hard work.
Yeah. The skills I've gained and the stuff I've had to do is bang on what I was expecting, really, which is handy.
Mm-hmm. And what are you hoping to do after you've completed your studies? What are you hoping to do?
Well, get a job primarily.
yes. Well, are you looking to get a job within the industry, or is it
a
case of getting a job to tide you over, as it were?
Well, I think that's the point of university study. A part-time job is what you should do then, and then after you've graduated, you should have the money there, and then actually look for a job in industry, which is what I will do, but...
Mm. Are you going to be staying... Would you hope to stay up in the northeast? I mean, certainly. My sister lives just outside, near the metro centre, Stocksfield. I absolutely adore the northeast, the people, the places... the things you can do up there, I adore it. So if it was if it was me, I would stay up there. The world is an oyster. You can go anywhere you like and do anything you want to do. So would you be looking at staying in the northeast?
After living here for 19 years, I would like to move away eventually. But to start my career here would be nice. But I would like to move away at some stage.
Lovely. Well, I wish you the best of luck with it, and hopefully I will see you next week.
Absolutely.
I'm just looking at that photograph, and I'll just hold the computer up and pass it through so that Sam can actually see us both. Actually, about, 24 hours previous to where we are now, a little bit earlier than that. Bless him, Sam didn't realise that things like 8 a.m. existed on the morning.
Ridiculous. I'll have a farm sale story.
But that's the thing that, and as Brian Rudd actually said, it's a lovely photograph of two lovely people there. Lots of people like us. Apparently, according to our weathermeister at Siren 107.3 FM, we've broken all records, Sue, so that's good.
I think it's to do with my Dan Hadfield T-shirt. That's what I think it's to do with.
Inevitably.
Dan's lovely face travels all over the world.
Yeah, just literally cardboard cutout. That'll increase your figures tremendously. That's great stuff. You know, we'll work through that. We're going to talk a little bit more about animals and spying and animals in a few moments. I don't know if you've seen the recent news that suggested Hamas naval commanders claim that humans have intercepted the latest advance in international espionage, a fully equipped Israeli spying dolphin. I'll say that again. A fully equipped Israeli spying dolphin. The militant Palestinian Islamist group claims that the Israelis deployed the underwater investigator a few weeks ago and fitted it with spying equipment, including cameras. In a further bizarre twist,
they are not the first and will not be the last.
Well, no. In a further twist, the Iranian Fars news agency said that the dolphin was in fact a robot, although it offered no evidence to support its claim. So. You know, this is the cool thing. I mean, I'm going to give you a choice, Sue, before we actually move on to other enigmatic animals that have been used as spies in times past. Obviously, a winner in every sense of the word. We can offer you either Everything Changes by a band that I think came from the Manchester area. I think it has taken something. Or somebody who should have actually gone undercover, Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. Which one are you going to go for? Everything Changes? Or Skippy the Bush Kangaroo?
I think, bearing in mind the subject genre, I think I should go for Skippy the Kangaroo.
But of course,
my heart will always beat as a fan, so it has to be Everything Changes.
Well, you mean to say that this... has actually been cancelled, you know. You said no to that little sequence.
I said no to Skippy. Heartless am I.
She did go to Skegness Grammar School.
I do.
So, quite frankly, I don't know, because after saying tune, what a wonderful tune, I wasn't sure whether he's being ironic. He then started breaking into some dance moves, and then he actually says, that's the worst falsetto I ever heard in my life. So you'd have to check out with Sam personally in terms of what he made of Take That and Everything Changes.
Sam, I only have one thing to say.
What's that?
6 Ivor Novello Awards.
Well.
That's how many awards Gary Barlow has got.
And he wrote
the song.
But was he responsible for the falsetto?
Yes.
Well, yeah. The singing, well, that's another matter. But the composition itself is, I take it you're not a fatter, Sam.
I have nothing wrong with take that. I think they're fine.
What sort of music are you into?
Oh, it varies. But obviously, because I'm a 90s and 2000s guy, I like modern stuff, most of it. Some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 5 artists probably, but, you know.
So if you could have, because certainly in the North East there are some amazing concert venues. I've seen Take That at the Sunderland Stadium of Light, and I've seen them at the Metro Radio Arena. If you had your choice of desert island artist and venue, where would it be and why?
Wow. Well, my favourite artist are a band called Pentatonix that I've seen live before, and that was at Leeds, but it was a tiny little venue, so somewhere bigger, like Steam Light would be good, or sort of the St. James's Park, anything bigger than that for the same sort of artist, that's a...
Mm-hmm. Would you do festivals as well?
I don't like the mud.
Yeah.
He's a high heels kind of guy, obviously. That's the message that comes across quite clearly here.
It takes all sorts to make a world.
Did you say Petter Toys?
Pentatonix.
Pentatonix.
Do you know the pentatonic scale? Is that with an X?
Yeah, right. Because I not crossed our radar as far as I'm aware, but still.
No.
Who knows what could actually happen with respect
what
to
that? What genre are they, sir?
A cappella.
Ah, lovely. Very good. There was a fantastic group I went to see Michael Bublé at the Metro Radio Arena last December, and there was a fantastic group called Naturally Seven who were their warm-up act, and they were superb. There were no musical instruments of any description. They did everything with their own voices,
yep.
including mimicking the drums and trumpets, saxophones. They were superb. They were on a world tour, and they've been around various places. If you get the opportunity to do so, mm-hmm. look them up on social media, because some of their videos, particularly on YouTube, are superb. They are really talented guys.
That's exactly what Pentatonix do, except there's only five of them. So.
Mm.
Meanwhile, back with these strange animals used in warfare, according to the Atlantic magazine, the Soviet Union set up a dolphin program during the Cold War in what Viktor Baranets, a retired Russian colonel, called a dolphin arms race. Apparently, Soviet dolphins were reportedly used in kamikaze missions, planting explosives on enemy ships. And in 2013, three of these killer dolphins, at that time managed by the Ukrainian Navy, escaped into the Black Sea, according to Business Insider. Not just dolphins, of course, Sue. Storks have also been captured in 2013. A stork was captured in Egypt after suspicions of spying. It was later cooked and eaten. Harsh, but fair. So, yeah. In 2011, Saudi officials determined a vulture, and indeed detained a vulture fitted with a GPS tracker from Tel Aviv University, which sparked hysteria about a Zionist plot. And my own personal favourite, of course, that in 2007, Iran arrested 14 so-called spy squirrels, who were apparently equipped with eavesdropping devices. Yes, squirrels. So watch out for those squirrels. I always used to like, I mean, the grey squirrels, despite the fact that they've obviously done for the red squirrel in Britain, those grey squirrels might be secret spy squirrels, and 14 of them were arrested in Iran. As far as I'm aware, we haven't started the squirrel campaign to free the squirrels as yet, because there's no message that, you know, according to Iran, they were arrested because they were equipped with eavesdropping devices.
I would love to know how they arrested the squirrels. How do you arrest the squirrel?
Well, presumably they were read their rights in squirrelese. You know, these things are critical in terms of the whole sort of system. I mean, you know, by comparison, in 2012, Sudan was apparently left red-faced after an eagle captured as a suspected spy turned out to be just a bird. So you can always make a mistake if you start going for different species, interspecies spying. That's the next stage in the squirrel from Uncle. Just a thought for Guy Ritchie, the squirrel from Uncle.
Yes.
See what we're doing there.
I'm sure that would suit Richard Fitzwilliam down to the ground. Can't imagine what he'd have to say about that.
We'd have to give him at least a week to actually sort of just vent himself. Exactly. Yes, to just sort the whole thing through. If you want to find out about Richard Fitzwilliam's our royal correspondent and indeed movie critic, check out our podcast on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. The last one, particularly with Richard. How you have one-to-one, it has to be said, with yours truly, I think it was fair to say. In terms of, you know, the disagreement we had about The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
He had a lot to say about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Now, I myself have not seen this tour, but in light of the conversation that we had yesterday, so I urge anybody, if you haven't seen it yet, please go to the podcast and listen to what we've got to say about it, because it's actually encouraged me to go and see it, just to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah.
Yes, it really has. He had some pretty forthright views on it, I feel.
I think so. And, and he hasn't seen the Fantastic Four, so, you know, so there's a moment.
No.
Up next, Emma Tinson is joining us. Now, what should Sam be prepared for when it comes to our Surrey correspondent, Emma Tinson? Because technically, Emma's just a year ahead. Because obviously, you're a postgraduate, Sue, doing an MA in Community Radio, as we said at the start. Emma, of course, is an undergraduate reading journalism at the University of Lincoln. So what sort of things do you think Sam should basically be prepared for? Because obviously, Surrey and Teesside, it could be an explosive mix, a bit like nitro and glycerin could end in, well, disaster for squirrels around the world.
Well, I think maybe it should be prepare for anything. Really, prepare for anything. I don't know what's going on down in Surrey today, but it could be anything.
You're quite right. Choice to actually wrap up these two little sequences, so we'll still keep Skippy the Bush Kangaroo in best Ken Bruce pop quiz master style. Your categories could be, for music at least, either Skippy the Bush Kangaroo or the theme to Secret Squirrel. Where are you going to go? Secret Squirrel or Skippy the Bush Kangaroo?
Well, I'm intrigued by the squirrel, so I'm sorry, Skippy. You're out. It's
not
Skippy the squirrel.
Oh, my. Skippy, you're in a bush and a car crash and a Barbie, and it's like playing Australia in cricket. Happy trails, Sue. We will see you very soon. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us?
As always, Alex.
Back again next week. Yay!
Well,
<it's laughs>
what's his name?
Shh, Secret Squirrel.
He's got tricks up his sleeve. Most bad guys won't believe. A bulletproof coat, a cannon hat, machine gun cane with a rat-tat-tat-tat-tat. Fights foreign spies, his disguise takes him many places. He's a squirrel of many faces. Who's that?
Bug.
Who's that?
Bhutan.
Who's that?
Boy.
Shh. Secret Squirrel.
Shh.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 22 3334. That's 01642 22 3334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium, 1 tablespoon.
Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. you can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Splendid. Excellent stuff. You're listening to the Morning Sequence on Friday, the 21st of August, 2015. Astounding. It's, oh, indeed, you could be listening to it probably in September if you listen to it by podcast or at your own particular convenience. We've spoken to Sue Royce. We, of course, being Sam Bradley, who's in the studio, and yours truly, Alex Levchuk. We had the Fly Me to the Moon extravaganza early in the programme. Now, of course, we have the Surrey legend, quite literally, that is Emma Tinson. Good morning, Emma. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Hey, well, we're fine. You could ask Sam how he's sort of coping with the whole thing. Sam, bit of background here, because you won't have been able to listen online to the sequence, because we don't stream for the Friday slots from Southside, but you can listen later. But you don't have a time machine now, so I'll reprise. Sam is a second-year undergraduate, going into his second year. I think he's just wrapped up his first year, reading multi-platform journalism at the University of Teesside, or is it what broadcast journalism is it?
It's technically multimedia.
Multimedia.
I don't really think it's a problem.
Now, is it multimedia journalism or is it just multimedia?
Multimedia journalism.
Multimedia journalism. Excellent. Right. Heading into a second year. Doing a work placement after a fashion with us. Although, as the Department of Work and Pensions have actually just said, you know, ultimately it's all about your CV, which is interesting. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But Sam, as I say, here for his second dose, so to speak, of Southside Broadcasting. Clearly, Sue's pointed him in certain directions. Expect the unexpected. We've already suggested you can get involved with the whole family on a 40-mile cycle. Ride from Howden in Yorkshire through to Pocklington. He seems to be declining on that one. His dad claims that his wheel's got a flat tyre or something. But anyway, but it's up to you, effectively. We've identified that one of his favourite writers is Ishiguro. So apart from that,
Ishiguro.
Emma. Well, Ishiguro is Kazoo. You know, he's never let me go. So, Emma, the floor is now yours.
Okay, so Sam, let's hear about your first year then, if you've just finished it. How did you find being a first year?
I found it fun. I thought it was good. Good experience to learn new skills and do things I haven't done before on all media platforms. I thought it was a good rounding of what it is to be a journalist.
Fantastic. And were you quite nervous when you started the course, or did you have an idea of what it was going to be like?
Not really, because I'd done sort of writing online before, so I knew exactly what I was getting myself into. I was sort of nervous about learning the whole radio and then multimedia production skills, but ultimately it was what I was expecting it to be.
Brilliant. So you're definitely going to keep up with it then? You're very much enjoying it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Even though he's at Teesside as opposed to Lincoln. It's astounding, Emma. I mean, you know.
I know.
I wouldn't have thought it was possible. People are happy doing journalism courses at places other than Lincoln.
It's shocking.
We've been talking about animals used in spying on the show today. We've identified that squirrels, obviously, they were arrested in Iran back in 2007. As far as we know, they still haven't been released. Dolphins, of course, have been used, eagles and so on. But in terms of animals, Emma, I mean, which particular animal would you sort of say, yeah, ultimately, if I was using an animal for espionage, this is what I'd go for?
I don't know, really. I know, wasn't there a place in England many years ago where they found a monkey and they actually hung the monkey because they thought it was a French spy because it didn't speak English? I find that quite shocking.
I love the way you phrase that. It wasn't just a place in England, that was a place close to Middlesbrough. That was a place called Hartlepool. Hence the reason that the Hartlepool mayor a few years ago was Hangus the monkey. Indeed, any sort of town can actually elect a mascot of the local football team as their mayor. as far as I'm concerned, they deserve everything good. And in terms of that, yes, it goes back, as you rightly said, Emma, to the days of the Napoleonic Wars at the start of the 19th century, where a shipwreck actually occurred just on the North Sea coast and washed ashore was indeed a monkey, because the monkey could not communicate in the King's English at the time. Clearly, it had to be a Napoleonic spy, so indeed it was hung. Hence, monkey hangers.
Awful. Yes. But yeah, no, I don't know that there's any particular animal that's good for spying.
Well, I mean, Sam's not keen on spiders. He's very worried about the giant spiders that he claims are now invading the whole sequence. So, I mean, Sam, you're not a spider man, a spider fan, are you?
I do not like them. They are terrifying creatures that have no place on this earth.
Yes, they do. They eat flies.
Well, they don't have any place on the earth either.
Anyway, let's sort of, because in terms of options here, clearly Sue elected initially to go for Take That, surprise, surprise, as opposed to Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, which we could still include in that. You know, I thought I'd give Skippy a third chance, given that she then elected Secret Squirrel over Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. But entering the fray, Emma Tinson, to actually give you even more delightful choices, or as the Buddhist monks might say, where there is choice, there is misery, we have got the theme to Monkey, the theme to Flipper, the theme to Champion the Wonder Horse, the theme to Hong Kong Phooey, Top Cat, of course, and possibly due for a revival, Amy Rush and Kitty Decides.
Oh, that's too many options.
I mean, I'll rephrase them there. You've got a monkey, you've got a dolphin, you've got a horse, you've got a dog, you've got a cat, you've got a squirrel, you've got a kangaroo. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to send the listener? I know it's a tough call on a Friday morning, Emma, but you can handle it. We know that.
I know, and it is a big decision, you know. Mm. This could be life-changing.
I think so. Call us now.
I think I'm going to have to go with Top Cat, because
really?
I liked that show.
So you've gone Top Cat. Of course, in Britain, referred to as Boss Cat, because the BBC didn't wish to be accused of advertising. Clearly, it was always Top Cat, but because of a cat food manufacturer who used the same time, they had to refer to it as Boss Cat, which confused the heck out of me, because inevitably, you'd see it billed as Boss Cat. And yet the series, of course, was always
Top Cat, the most factual Top Cat. Intellectual close friends get to call him TC, providing it's with dignity. Top Cat, the indisputable leader of the gang. He's the boss, he's a bit, he's a championship, he's the most tip-top Top Cat. He's the chief, he's the king, but above everything, he's the most tip-top Top Cat.
Did that do the business for you, Emma Tinson?
That was good. I'm glad I made that choice.
Yeah, I think it was a very sensible choice to actually make, and ultimately, despite the fact that Skippy the Bush Kangaroo has now been rejected not once, not twice, but three times... Well,
oh,
you know,
I feel bad now.
It's okay. We'll have a Skippy reprisal probably on Wednesday's Midweek Drive, when we'll be having Professor Jason Whittaker joining us. I'm sure we can actually work in some Skippy the Bush Kangaroo in terms of that.
It'll link in somewhere.
Well, precisely. That's important. So how's the dissertation coming on, Emma?
Well, I haven't got far, but I've now decided exactly what I want to do. So I've looked at a few books and things, but
very good.
It's not coming along fantastically.
Okay.
I think being away from you is a bad thing for my dissertation.
Emma, I'm always at the end of an email or indeed a telephone call, so
I know.
Always just work the whole process through. Remember, we are on the same planet after all, even though some might say in my case that's arguable, but never mind, that's a different line. Mark Steele, writing in the newspaper of the year, the newspaper, the Independent, and also columnist of the year, as he was recently sort of awarded, notes the following: during the summer holidays, if you're in search of artistic expressions of imagination and creativity, instead of the Tate Modern, try the Department for Works and Pensions. It exhibited a delightfully magical work this week, a leaflet in which people on benefits told their stories. One was Sarah, whose tale was, I was told my benefits would go down because I missed a meeting with my work coach. Not only that, but I didn't think a CV would help me. Luckily, my work coach told me all employers need one. I decided to complete my CV and told my work coach. My benefit is back to normal, and I'm really pleased with how my CV looks. Amazingly, Sarah doesn't exist. They made the whole thing up! Any thoughts on that, Sarah? Or do you just think, well, you know, that's government, really. What can you expect? There is somebody in the studio, actually, who didn't know who Jeremy Corbyn was. Anyway. You've gone very quiet now, sir. You know, indeed, we've even collapsed with all sorts of things happening through there. Anyway, from your own perspective, it's all right, Emma. I know it's the shock of Jeremy Corbyn, just the mention of that in Surrey. It's going to send ripples of delight through the whole thing.
No, I can't believe that. So did they make up the name, or were the quotes completely?
They made up the entire thing. They made up they wrote the whole sort of sequence. Again, Mark Steele, that is, that maybe they could follow it up with a sequel that starts something along the lines of, I had cancer of the spine when the nice man from ATOS told me that my disability benefit would be cancelled as I could still count to six. I was made to accept a job as a lumberjack, and now, instead of whinging, I've broken the Commonwealth record for 400 metres hurdles. Thank you, Department of Work and Pensions.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where if they'd allowed it to actually... you just think it's wrong. It just shouldn't have happened, really. And, you know, it's... never mind. It's a false cheery image, according to Mark Steele, Department of Work and Pensions. I don't know if you've ever actually encountered the whole thing. Have you, Sam? The DWP? No.
Can't say I have.
There we are. It's and long may you continue your reign as a student borrowing from the state. anyway, it's just perspective on that sort of thing. Emma, any other comments or questions or things you'd like to say at this point?
No,
exactly. It's been a perfect end to a perfect
it's
couple
a
of hours.
Friday. I can't come up with things on a Friday.
You can't accept witticisms from Emma on a Friday unless she's at the National Portrait Gallery.
Sorry.
You know, and she's got Richard Fitzwilliams prompting in all sorts of other areas. but I take it you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today.
I have done. It's very nice.
Good.
And to be at Teesside instead of Lincoln.
Yeah, exactly. There is, really. It's 126 miles difference, to be precise, you know. And from Surrey, that's like 234 miles, actually. You know, not really measuring. And, of course, we could always do the equivalent in kilometres, but, you know, we'll leave that for the listener at home. I did say, if you wanted to call in, you can, of course, dial hash 800 from within the James Cook University Hospital, or indeed simply 01642 854742. That's 01642 854742. Or do as Sam did. Send an email to info@southsideradio.com, and if we can be bothered, we might get back to you, or not, as the case may be. Only kidding. We always like to respond positively. Thanks today to Dennis, the chemist, Dennis Gore, of course, on Full Form, and of course, Sue Royce, Rob Nichols, Sam Bradley, and Emma Tinson. Back again on Wednesday evening, Emma. Are you up for us then?
I should be, yeah.
Good, excellent, you see. So the telephony keeps working. And if we sort of wrap up with Human and Brandon Flowers and Killers, is that okay with you as well?
Oh, lovely. That'd be fantastic.
Big question, of course. Are you human? Are you dancer? Are you dancer? Are you human? Still. At least you're not a member of the Fantastic Four, as done by Josh Trank. That's the message to go out to the world today. Happy trails, Emma.
Thank you. I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door close.